Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the heart of man was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Boy, this is politically incorrect, but it's scripturally accurate that before you get born again, the devil is working through you and living through you. And some of you think, oh, not me. I was a good sinner. There is no such thing as a good sinner. Again, when you start thinking, but I was really a good person and all Jesus did was help me a little bit, you don't understand the Word of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is not comparing you to other people. And relative to other people, you are relatively good. And so God is going to accept the good people. There are no good people by your core nature. You may be less of a sinner than I was, less than a sinner of somebody else, but who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell? All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, even the church does not acknowledge what I'm talking about right here and doesn't understand this. And this is one of the reasons that there are a huge amount of Christians that don't share their faith with other people because they like their neighbor, they're a relatively good person, and they just think, well, they're okay. They don't understand that it doesn't matter if you are the best sinner, the wages of sin is death, separation from God. Every one of us was born with a sin nature, and we have to be changed at our very core. And because we don't acknowledge that, we think, well, these people are okay. Certainly they're going to make it. The good people are going to make it. If your good outweighs your bad, you'll make it. That is not what the Word of God teaches. This is saying that the spirit of disobedience operated in each one of us before we got born again. You had evil things operating through you. One of the problems is that we compare ourselves among ourselves and measure ourselves by ourselves, which the Bible says that's not wise to do, but we do it. And many of us have just accepted that, you know, getting angry and yelling at people and having fights and strife and criticizing people and gossiping about people and lying and these things, they're just normal. And we've gotten to where we accept it. But the Bible says we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is Jesus. There's many scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and other places that talk about that He is the glory of God. The glory of God is revealed in His face. We've all sinned and come short of perfection. And I guarantee you, it doesn't matter if you're a good sinner or a bad sinner. We were by nature the children of wrath. It goes on to say right here in chapter 2, this is Ephesians 2, 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You were by nature lost, dead, separated. That's what the Bible calls death. It doesn't mean that you ceased to exist, but you were separated from God. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and you had a nature that was evil. And the reason you sin, it wasn't your sins that made you evil, it was your nature that made you sin. Go back over here to Romans chapter 5, and let me just show you this in a number of these verses. In verse 15, he says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. In other words, he's making a comparison. Through Adam, everybody, death, sin, was passed to the entire human race. And in the same way, but in an opposite direction, righteousness has been given to everyone who will receive Jesus. You didn't do something to make yourself a sinner. You were born a sinner. You don't do anything to make yourself righteous. You get born again righteous. The good news about this is that if you will accept that you were born a sinner and that it was your nature, if you accept that, well, then it's the exact same thing that happens through the new birth, but in the opposite direction. You didn't do anything to get born. You didn't cause yourself to be a sinner. You were born that way. Likewise, you don't do anything to save yourself. Jesus died for you, and all you have to do is receive it, and you receive everything that God is, not proportional to your goodness, but rather just because it's been imputed unto you. You became a new creature. So in verse 16, it says, "Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the free gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And look at this in verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." You were made a sinner, not through what you did, but through what Adam did. Every child that has ever been born since Adam was born a sinner. Through one man's offense, in verse 19, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." You did not become a sinner because of what you've done. You were born a sinner, and that caused you to act out your nature. And again, this is one of the major problems that we have in our society. People don't believe this. And they think that if we could just remove the hurt from this person, if we could just give them more education, if we could give them a better place to live, if we could do this and this and this and this and this, we could solve all of society's problems without changing their heart if we just change their environment. See, that's the entire approach of psychology, philosophy, and sad to say, so much of our society today is out here trying to change these external things, thinking that people are basically good. The scripture is teaching that no, you were born in sin. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You have to have a heart change. And the good news is, I'm assuming that the vast majority of people here are born again. When you got born again, you got a heart change. But sad to say, most Christians don't know what happened to them. So tonight, I'm just trying to show how desperate the situation is. Tomorrow, we're going to start talking about the good side of this, about what happened when you got a new heart. But first of all, you've got to recognize what the problem is. The problem isn't out there. The problem isn't your lack of education, the color of your skin, your money situation, or the way you were treated when you were at home or anything like that. Some of those things may aggravate what's already on the inside of you, but it goes much deeper than anything that the world has to offer. You got to go to the root of the problem, which is a man's heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. And your heart has to change. And this is why we're seeing so little effect, so little difference. You know, the recidivism rate in prison, I forget the exact number, but I think it's well over 90%, 85 or 90% of people who come out of prison return, and they've been punished and they've got all of these incentives now to live a different life. But the problem is they got the same heart. Their heart's not changed. Did y'all know that the way that the prison system got started in the United States? I don't know if you know this, but Jamie and I went over to England, and we went to a place called the House of Detention. And it was an old salt mine. I think it was salt, but anyway, some kind of a mine, 10 stories down into the ground. And we went down a dark alley. It was getting late in the day, and we went down this dark alley to get there. And then we walked in, And there was nobody around. And we walked for quite a ways before we finally found somebody to take our money. It's now a museum. But they used to take people, if you stole a piece of bread. They didn't used to have prisons and jails and stuff like this. They would just take you and they would either beat you, flog you, kill you or something. And then they started throwing them in this place called the House of Detention. And they would put you in with people who were rapists, murderers, and they would just throw you in and they charged you per day. So if you stole a piece of bread because you didn't have enough money, well, then they put you in there and charged you for being in jail and feeding you. So if that was your problem, it just compounded and you never came out. And they had over 10,000 people in this place, and they had this dumb waiter system that they would send food down, and people were just in there, and there was no law, there was no supervision, there was no cages. It was just an old mine. You survived the best as you could. That's the way things were done back 200 years, 300 years ago. In the United States, we've got examples out where we live that they would take a person who had stole something and they would publicly beat you if you stole something. If you did it a second time, they'd put you in the stocks and make you a spectacle in front of people. And if you stole bread or something the third time, they'd kill you 200 years ago. Might have been 300 years ago, but it wasn't too long. And they would just do things like this. And you know what? The Presbyterians in the United States got to thinking, we could do better than this. And so the Presbyterians started locking people up. They would take them, and instead of letting society just kill them, they would lock them up and preach the gospel to them and get them born again. And they started seeing people's hearts changed. And because their heart changed, they would get back into society and be a constructive part of society. And it began to work so good that the government came in and says, oh man, this is great. We'll take it over.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the heart of man. This five-part series was recorded at the 2017 Washington, D.C. Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM293 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you are blessed by this program, and yet you have never contacted us. And you know what? I'm glad to minister to you. That's not a problem. But the scripture does say that if you've been blessed spiritually, that you need to give back financially. We couldn't make our materials available to people if nobody helped us. And we have over 50% of the people that contact us that don't send a penny and they get their materials. And so for those of you who are blessed, and if God has blessed you and if you are able, I would like to ask you to pray about becoming a part and being one of our partners that enables us to minister to these other people who are in crisis. So we have some information that we'd like to share with you. Please call or write and become a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries today.